Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. The show is sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as republicreview.org. You are listening to the show that actually talks about, and we get into the details of what it takes to get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. If you've listened to the show, it is not a surprise that the federal government is well outside the boundaries of the Constitution. Most patriots get that. But we actually talk about the solution in getting them back there, and there are different mechanisms, and all these things kind of work together, but bottom line, it is Republic Review. The number to call in is 215-867-8255 for today, and it is 215-TOP-TALK, if you want to spell that out. Now, I'm on the record for not being a professional conservative entertainer. Plenty of rough spots, plenty of ways to develop and improve as far as how I do the show and so forth. But today, I want you to listen to the solution I'm painting regarding the 14th Amendment, Section 3, and ask you, give me feedback, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. The question I have for you is, why is it that no one else has real solutions in how to integrate these things and working them together? Or am I wrong? Are you really getting, I mean, there's some really good wit and commentary and analysis. No solutions. And I think it's time. I mean, what's well overdue that we start actually putting solutions on the table and figuring out what is the best way in moving forward. Having sat down with lots of people and had the privilege of working with John Hancock, not directly, but indirectly for a little while, and getting to know him. He's an author down in the California area. And he was adamant that, like John Rowland and so many people, and so I kind of lump him into the education side. There are so many people that believe we have to educate. The only way we can get out of this is education. And I'm here to tell you, we don't have the time. And we sat there, and I took a pragmatic approach with John. I said, look, I mean, see all the kids coming out of school. You see, you know, everything in front of us. The fact that we don't even own the message in the education system. How are we going to combat this? How much time? So I really put it out to him. How much time do you think we have? And this was in 2015. And he thought we had time. Well, we met when I went as the keynote speaker for the Constitution Association, I think it was the following year, and we talked on the phone afterwards. It was, 2016. And I asked him, I go, well, so what are you thinking now? And he said, I have to admit, you're right. We don't have the time. We don't have the time and resources to overcome what the education system is doing. And so that's why it is so critical for the baby boomers, because and the older generations to literally take a stand and step into the fray. One of the reasons why is that we are having less and less to do with our time in our life. Many of us are already retired. Some of us are working towards retirement. But the last of the baby boomers, I mean, that light is definitely in the tunnel, shining and brightening it up. You're getting closer to retirement. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with the rest of your time today? What are you going to do with the rest of your time? Are you literally going to watch I'm going to do my best not to say literally a lot, but because I'm not a professional entertainer. Anyway, what are you going to do? How are you going to optimize your opportunity cost? You know, that old economics expression. You have all of these opportunity costs. How are you going to utilize those? What is it going to take to get you to actually get involved? Why is it that you cannot be integral? Why can't you become a key component to the solution and getting engaged? Just want to put that long, thoughtful question out there so that you can start cogitating, ruminating, you know, giving it deep thought and thought with intent so that maybe you can come up with a good solution. But with that, I definitely want to thank you for continuing to tune in, and I'm working. I'm still working on you, and so don't give up on me because I'm not giving up on you. I definitely want to help you become the hero. This isn't a single person hero. This isn't a, you know, a one-stop shop or a one-size-fits-all. We need lots of heroes to start working together. So thank you for tuning in. I would ask that you continue to let people know, hey, you need to check out Reclaiming the Republic on Red State Talk Radio from this time to this time, whatever your time zone is. It's from 3 to 4 on the West Coast and 6 to 7 on the East Coast. Well, get those people tuning in so if they really care about doing something, they really care about getting involved. Now, as I always do, and I got to quickly give you the please help, the groveling, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you are interested in getting involved, if you want to get involved with the Constitution Club, that would be going to constitutionclub.ning.com and sign up there. Sign up for the getting involved. I mean, you'll be able to start sending emails with scripts and so forth out to the state legislators that are getting barraged with emails. Yes, you can be a part of the barraging. With that, let me just kind of jump forward. I do want to add, in some of the assessments that I got, it's worth noting, and I think I might go on to social media and get some other individuals, you know, maybe do a survey or something like that to see what people think. But it's worth noting that a few people commented on the behavior of the Democrats. I mean, most people just kept it short, pithy, you know, excellent, awesome, the best I ever heard, that type of thing. But there were a few that spoke about the behavior. And I'm telling you, and I've been telling you, that they have no reverence towards the opposition. When they are in the position of power, you will feel the iron fist cladded in a velvet glove to disguise its harmful nature. And the day is coming, if we do not do something, where they will be unattested and have full reign. They will put aside that Constitution, and it's over. There will be no going back, barring a revolution. And I tell people, if you think you're going to win a revolution in today's time and age, sorry. They would just rather drop a smart bomb on your butt and be done with it. That's how ruthless they are. They're far more ruthless than anybody can give them credit for. I mean, look at the abominable things that they've done. The Holocaust. Look what happened in Russia. They don't have any. Look what Pol Pot did. I mean, he dug deep trenches and then just continually, I'll call them assassinations, but he just did mass graveyards of educated people and people he perceived as a threat. I'm telling you, do not expect any leniency, mercy, or anything like that. It's not in their vocabulary. So there are some new stuff, new stories, whatever, that I do want to cover. But I really want to focus this whole concept on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment today and put it, you know, I've been putting it all together, been laying it out here. So I'm hoping to actually get through this today. So if I do, if I can get through it today, we'll go through some of the marketing or what I call news. And again, you know, as I tell you that these things are happening, I like to, you know, kind of jab you in the shoulders and in the ribs and back or whatever, wherever, to get you to start thinking, what is it going to take? I mean, what more evidence, what more crap needs to happen before we get you going? I mean, aren't you upset enough? people during the 90s got upset enough that they started forming the Tea Party. It officially formed about a decade later. We cannot just become idle and what do you want to call it, complacent and apathetic. We need to really start moving forward. So stories that aren't going anywhere are what we're going to talk about, because, you know, like the New Green Deal or Virginia politics, nuclear arms treaties. I mean, these things are something that is that ephemeral or that temporary that, you know, by Monday it's not going to be, you know, of any value. The Democrat lawmaker and the teen blogger. There's a lot of stories out there, or maybe baby parts and mice being melded together, or maybe the HUD grants threatening single family homes. There's a lot of stories. As I kind of cover these are my marketing, you know, tools that I use, because as I go through each of these, I go, what's it going to take? I mean, how many more of these kind of things are we going to have to put up with? We don't have to put up with this. We can put an end to this very quickly. So we'll get into those. But what I do want to focus on is this whole concept of what we've been talking about, this concept of banning hacks and bad people from public service. And that's been the focus. It's literally Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. If you have not read that, and I've read it a few times here, go back and read Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And when you come back with, after reading that, because it'll only take you a second, we'll be back, hopefully, from the break. So please stay tuned, and we'll be back in identifying how this is an awesome tool. We'll be right back. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so I think it's a brilliant concept, banning people from public service, especially when they've violated their oath. More importantly, not just when they violated their oath, but when they violated their oath in such a way that they actually violated the concept of supporting the Constitution, that concept of being a guardian of our constitutional principles, a limited government, a limited and defined government. And so let's discuss this a little further, since some people think that this goes against our principles of freedom. You know, all the anarchists out there that want to be free without any government, that is the antithesis of the government that we have. Our government isn't one of free willy. It is organized. It is a rule of laws, but it is a limited laws. And you got to understand, there was a symbiosis when they founded this country. There was a symbiotic relationship between religion and the government. Religion really is what dictated and kind of controlled individual behavior. And government kind of controlled government behavior by keeping themselves from literally controlling and creating all of these different laws to oppress and suppress the people. And so is the idea, let me throw this idea out here, is the idea of keeping foxes out of the hen house a bad idea? What do you think? Or what about allowing General Motors Board of Directors having influence in Ford's operations, executive leadership, and so forth, or any other auto company's dealings? Would that be good? I mean, if you understand the parameters of corporations and you're voting in corporate business for officers and what have you, then you have to understand that those restrictions on who can vote for these officers, policies, and what have you are based on whether you're invested in that. The whole principle is, if you're not vested, if you don't have any investment, any skin in the game, as Obama put it, then you shouldn't have any say on what the heck's going on. And that was how it was when they framed and created this country. They just didn't let anybody and everybody come in here and vote. The whole concept of giving votes away to illegals is the same thing as sending absentee ballots to every Russian, Chinese, and everybody else that hates us. Why aren't we letting them vote in our process as well? We have to protect our culture, and we have to protect ourselves from anybody that wants to come here and steal away our liberties and our culture. These things go against the progressive idea that we should be open to all, and even especially open to our enemies. Our culture in this nation was not built upon, you know, surrendering that easily to our enemies by just letting them come in and voting. They were very guarded. They wanted to make sure they had a test of citizenship, and you had to devow all alliances and allegiance to anyone else, any other sovereignty. And when I say that, that allegiance and sovereignty, that also goes into a theoretical realm or a theocracy type of realm, if you understand what I'm saying, because there are those who are supposedly swearing allegiance in the political and governmental fashion to the United States, but they are actually maintaining their allegiance to a different sovereign. And what I mean by that is some religions actually dictate how your laws and your civil society is supposed to behave and do things. Christianity is not that way. There's a lot of religions that are really what we call open liberal religions, but there are some that aren't. And we'll get into that in just a second here. But in contrast to all other cultures and societies, we are and likely have been the most open society ever. That's bar none. I can't think of a more open society than us, than our constitutional republic. And this is because we have taken the Enlightenment and the understanding of natural law and how to literally build and improve upon a good system already. Enlightenment means that you're doing things for the betterment of society? Are we better to put our carnal natures to the side and discipline ourselves in becoming more productive and more tolerant, more educated? Though enlightenment is a path that elevates society. All of these other paths that the progressives are throwing out at us is debasing our society. But if you look at what we have, because of this, because of our openness, we are the most vulnerable to bad actors. This is because we not only tolerate their shenanigans, we defend them. We defend people that want to burn our flag and say all sorts of bad things. But here's the question. Do we have to give them access to be able to destroy our country from within our government? We're not obligated. And oh, by the way, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment gives us the ability to protect ourselves from that. It is constitutional. This isn't something that came from the Supreme Court, believe you me. And I can't believe how many people or how few people have really looked at the merit of Section 3. To me, it's profound. If you understand the intent of the third section of the 14th Amendment, it does conflict with previous paradigms. And how does it conflict with previous paradigms? Well, the previous paradigms was, if you committed something that was the antithesis of the Constitution and you were giving aid to enemies, aid and comfort in supporting them, then the process back in those days for treason was hanging. Another process, even before that, was the Tories Act. If you supported or was considered a loyalist to somebody else or some other form of government, a monarchy, you were deported. It was that easy. And there were lots of people, thousands of people, deported after the Revolutionary War. So if you understand that in the beginning they deported people, and then they drew this line to say, if you go against this, if you commit treason, we will hang you. So this, the third section of the 14th Amendment, it simply nullifies their ability, a person, a bad actor's ability to engage with our Constitution directly as a public servant. It allows them to still exist. It allows them just, you know, to spout off. I mean, it allows people like Charlie Sheen and Sean Penn and all of these other bad actors that hate America and hate our Constitution the ability to say everything they want. But they should be marked and they should be deemed unsuitable for public service because they're not espousing individual liberty and individual sovereignty. They actually went, at least Sean Penn, went out and supported a despot. But we need to really start breaking down how to frame all of this. As I have said, Congress will not do anything. They won't lift a finger to police themselves. Fine swine should have been, removed. She should have been removed as a senator from the Senate for violating the Constitution in applying religious tests. Kamala Harris, same thing. Cory Booker, same thing. You cannot violate the Constitution, especially in that position. They should be banned from public service. Some may think that the states are unwilling to do this, and I believe you are looking at this from the wrong paradigm. I think you need to change your perspective if you see it that way. And we'll get into why that is, because it has to bubble up. We have the tool. It's there. It's already been placed into the Constitution. We have the ability to keep people from becoming public servants. I mean, how beautiful is that? Bad actors. We don't have to put up with John McCain's anymore. We don't have to put up with Oso the communist anymore, but we have to drive this point home. And a part of this is literally, this actually dovetails, I want to say big time, you know, that's a great expression, but this actually dovetails tightly with Republic Review and what I'm doing with Reclaiming the Republic. Because it holds people accountable. It aligns with the concept of liberty. Liberty is free agency in tandem with responsibility and accountability for that free agency. You do this, you must be responsible and accountable for the actions or the outcome of what those things were that you did. That is what liberty is all about. Liberty is not just the free will in being able to do what you want to do because it feels good. No, it means that we take responsibility for every action that we commit. We're at a hard break, but we're going to get back into this, and we're going to start talking about Dinos and Renos and so forth. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Just remember that for us to be successful, because again, Congress is not going to self-police. Congress will not do anything to correct this problem. The problem with this moral turpitude, the actual disregard of the Constitution. I'm not talking about, there may be politicians out there because throughout time, this has always been a problem when politicians have been immoral, having affairs and doing those types of things, being drunk. I mean, that's one thing. That is maybe harmful to them, their loved ones, and so forth. But it's not necessarily harmful to the Constitution. When they start doing things deliberately to violate the Constitution and undermine it, then we have to take a stand. And they're not going to do that because there's people that probably have pictures with them and barnyard animals. So what we have to do is we have to look at changing this approach from trying to get Congress. That's why I keep telling you Congress is not where we need to go. And maybe your state legislator is not where you need to go, but that's ultimately where the solution will be worked. As I keep on telling you, the states have all the authority necessary to step in and start demanding. It is their constitution. They are the stakeholders for us in the constitutional process. So let's look at this from a different perspective, and let's make that perspective based on the party. So in doing this, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of a dino or a dino or what we would refer to as a Democrat in name only? They don't have any, do they? I mean, really, there is no disdain within the Democratic Party towards somebody that's quasi-conservative. They know that they have still some pull in making sure that their social agenda or whatever is necessary, that these people will support that. They don't call out anybody in that respect, do they? So why is it that only one party, you know, has this type of problem and label? Why is it that the Republican seems to be the host of real rhinos, people that are wearing the party name, but it only in name only? Why is that? Well, it might have something more to do with what we would consider standards, morals, and those types of things. But if we start understanding, you know, where this responsibility, because we talked about this before, right? Who is the employer in politics? Is it we the people? Come on, do you really believe that we the people actually do the due diligence necessary in identifying who supports the Republican Party platform, who takes their oath seriously? If that was the case, then you wouldn't find the crappy bills that are coming up into all of these red state legislators or legislation coming up into the legislative body. How's that sound? Why is it that we keep seeing the Agenda 21 issues in bills that are very similar from one state to the next? Why is it that these things are bubbling up in these dark red states? Well, there's lots of reasons for this. But first off, we have to start accepting this concept that there is a uniparty system. And until we're ready to get engaged and take back the Constitution and take back the party, you know, we're going to be tossed to and fro, and rhinos are going to be the biggest problem. We do not have enough constitutional supporting, loving legislators, and we've got to fix that problem. The best place to fix that problem is working with the party. And I'm going to tell you, the majority of the people in the party have disdain for rhinos. Only bad players in the party think that rhinos are a good thing. Whether we like it or not, the political home is the viable place in doing this. And that political home that is the most viable is the Republican Party. I mean, I would love to see the fact that we would have, you know, the Constitution Party is a viable third party, but we don't. Look at the votes. There's just, we have been divided into what we perceive as a single party system, but it seems like the direction is towards the left. Rhinos are voting towards the left. In other words, we have people that are supposedly wearing that Republican name that aren't. And as I've said, we know that people don't do the due diligence. There's probably 80% of the people just vote for the incumbent because they don't know. They're not keeping track. There's very few people that know who's voting for what and how bad these players are. So this is why we have to get engaged at the party, and we have to start taking the standards at the county level and bubbling them up. That's why I keep on asking you to get involved at your county level. So if you understand this concept that maybe 80% of the people in your state, in your county, are voting based on their political bias, what that means is they've got a blind faith in the party. They have this unabashed loyalty towards this party thing. Do they deserve, does the party deserve that? No. So we have to do something about that. We actually have to, you know, make the party worthy of that blind faith. if the party actually became worthy of that blind faith, then I'm here to tell you that there would be no more rhinos, because that means that the party is actually taking action against those who are coming in and exploiting the party and pushing us down the other party's path. If that makes sense, then hopefully it inspires you. Maybe it even motivates you to start getting involved at your county party level. Because you can go over to the Constitution Party and, you know, have some coffee and then go to church, because, you know, it seems like there's not a lot of potential in any other party if we want to have a big effect. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to bring those who have left the Republican Party that went into the Constitutional Party, those who left the Republican Party to create the Libertarian Party, I'm trying to get them to come back. Let's make this about the Constitution. Let's not make this about one particular faith, because unfortunately, it seems like people are bringing religion and their standards into this, and there's no place for that either. There's place and only place for compliance. We need to be standing upon the principles of complying to the Constitution, not to whether somebody goes to this church or that church. Remember, we had 4 years, four more years of a hybrid Muslim. When I say hybrid, Obama was obviously trained and brought and loved the Muslim faith, but supposedly he was this hybrid with, you know, maybe some Christian principles. But we had to suffer 4 more years of this tyrant because 11 million evangelicals said that they would never vote for a Mormon. And I guess a Mormon was far worse than a Muslim. And I'm having a problem with that, because as we start looking at who really supports the Constitution ideologically, I'm going to here to tell you that the Muslim faith is not one that clings to individual liberty. They believe all must be converted. I mean, if you understand the jihad, if you understand their principles and doctrines, they align least religiously with our constitutional principles. And yet the evangelicals just hate Mormons that much that we got 4 more years of Obama. Thank you very much. It just proves to me that we're still so heavily divided. That's why we have to get these religious tests, religious standards. We have to quit asking people, what religion are you? I mean, if you want to ask a religious question, you should ask, are you a Muslim? There you go. That's probably the only relevant question you can ask, because then you should be, you know, testing them and saying, how is it that you are worthy of supporting our Constitution? And if they can align and abide, I mean, there has to be a tough test there, because obviously, theoretically, and their doctrine, they're not there. And I'm not here to pick on a religion, but I am here to tell you that we have to be guarded. We cannot allow somebody that embraces an ideology of subjugation and force to become somebody that will be actually pulling the strings in public service. So this whole Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is huge. We have the ability not to castigate somebody, but just basically say, hey, we kind of recognize, you know, that you have this communistic thinking that you want to take from the rich and give to the poor. Well, that's okay. You can have that thought, and you can give all the money you want to the poor, all of your excess or even more. We don't care. But we do care whether you're going to become a public servant, because we do not want that ideology, especially if you are like all the rest and willing to do anything to lie, cheat, and do legislation that will undermine our constitutional republic. Let's start guarding the front door. Then we can actually start cleaning the house, because there's no doubt in my mind, we have to have a mechanism in making sure that those who are serving us are serving us in support and restoring our constitutional republic, not continually piling on and taking it apart. We're at a hard break, so we'll be right back as we meander on this. And I'm hoping this is starting to make sense, and we'll get into some maybe some definitions. We'll be right back. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so to my point, we have, and the party can actually start stipulating who's going to be able to serve in the party. Like I said, they're the employers. You want to wear that label? There are parameters. There should be requirements. It should not be a laissez-faire, hey, if you want to be a communist and come in and then run and be, you know, and then go do bad things, it's okay. That's fine with us. No, it's not. The party has to be the one that holds these people accountable because 80% of the people are being, are lacking the diligence that they need to be. We can't undo, unring that bell of giving people suffrage, but we can expect the party to start protecting us. It is more than reasonable for a party, because organizations have a right of affiliation. They have the ability to literally and figuratively take control of their brand. They actually have an obligation to do that. They're duty bound to do that, or their brand means nothing. That's why it's always annoyed me with the fact that the party never reeled in McCain or the Bushes or any of these rhinos. So, all we have to do is we just have to create a model. And the first thing we need to do is define what these threats are to our Constitution and our culture. Are there organizations out there that are worthy of being identified as something that if you're affiliated with that, then don't seek public service? Now, this is not McCarthyism. We're not dragging people in through an inquisition and making them serve sentences and trying to make something illegal. We're just banning you from public service. It's okay. You go do that and that's fine. But you can't serve. You can't come here. And if you want to, and what this will force, this may force people to go underground and try to do that. So when things and evidence comes out, we may have to have inquisitions as they go underground, because the Communist Party was underground for a long time. And that's one of the things that McCarthy had to do was he had to do investigations and research. We need to keep and, you know, purge, purify, and keep our ranks clean. So let's define these real threats to our Constitution and our culture. And this culture is a culture of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. Communism and socialism are clear threats to our constitutional republic. It is the antithesis of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. If you want a welfare state, join a church that offers you a welfare state. That way, you know, we're not going to take the taxes. You go and give and let the musicians, let Bono, I keep saying this, let Bono throw all of his money out to all the poor musicians who are struggling. Prove to me that his concept of socialism and communism by taking from those who have and giving to those who have not within the music industry, fix yourselves first before you try to inflict us with a bad idea. Because we know you will prove yourself wrong in trying to say, well, we can just take money and redistribute it and everybody's better off. So the music world and the music we'll get will be better off because all of a sudden bad music will be everywhere. That's what they're saying. And I'm telling you, capitalism will clean that whole thing up. Or I should say the free market will always clean that thing up. Bad music doesn't surface if there is no forcing of it. Because even though there's plenty supply of bad music, there is no demand for it and you're not being forced to buy it. So again, Let these stalwarts of communism prove to us that they can fix that. But in the meantime, if you're associated with communism and socialism and the ideologies of it, then you can't be a part of the Republican Party. You cannot take a position of public service, whether it's partisan or not. Start identifying these people so that you can say, hey, this person should not be a public servant per Section 3 of the 14th Amendment if they take an oath. I mean, because actually Section 3 of the 14th Amendment means that they've already taken an oath. I will even make I'll take the leap because I even say this in one of my promos. That we as American citizens are duty bound by that same oath because it's our birthright. It is an obligation because we are born a citizen. We are supposed to support and defend the Constitution. We should have a requirement of serving in the militia. I think that's the standards. I think you have to be of a certain age to be eliminated from service of the militia. My point is that we have to start holding everybody accountable because as citizens, without holding them accountable for their citizenship, then we don't have liberty. What we have is anarchy and despotism, literally at the same time. And I mean that. We are looking at despotic laws and regulations that are forcing us down socialism, and we have this anarchy of people that aren't being held accountable to their citizenship. So what's another threat to our constitutional culture, our individual liberty, and our individual sovereignty? Theocracies like Islam. Prove to me that it's not. Let's start identifying academically what religions out there might be the antithesis of our culture and say, okay, we're not running you out. We're not hanging anybody. We're not deporting anybody. All we're stating is that you can't serve in a public office. You can't. Now, if you want to, you know, convert, you want to put those things aside because you have this angst. I don't know why anybody thinks that they're entitled to be a public servant in the first place. But okay, if you want to, you have to be a representative of not just the people, but of the Constitution. Because Article 6 of the Constitution, Section 3, again, requires that everybody take an oath to support it. And that doesn't mean that you'll pass a law to suppress somebody's liberty of eating pork. and say, you can't sell pork here. You can't do any of these types of businesses. That is not in embracing the concept of individual liberty. It's starting applying draconian laws and paradigms to the people. Any paradigm or ideology that seeks to take away our liberties and sovereignties must be identified and listed and say, okay, if you're a part of this society, if you're a part of this religion, if you're a part of this ideology of communism, like Oso the communist, and she actually votes, and they're going to be doing this, she should be marked and banned from public service in concert with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Some other things that are threats are those who seek to bypass the constitutional process in implementing the Department of Hue, Health, Education, and Welfare in 1953. Anybody that supported that, because clearly that didn't go through the Article 5 process, anybody that voted for that or signed that into law, such as Eisenhower, should be banned from political service because they just bypassed the constitutional process. That, to me, is treason. More specifically, if we start putting this into context, we need to start educating and championing the process to say, hey, you want to change it? There's a mechanism for that. It's called the Article 5 process. If you understand the audit and Republic Review and my premise of what we have to do, Section 3 is a mechanism to help us keep people out who try to bypass the Article 5 process. The only reason they're spending trillions of dollars on a yearly basis in a deficit is because they've bypassed the Article 5 process, and they continue to bypass it by continuing government that is unconstitutional. It really comes down to that. And again, I see the states as the only ones that will have the ability to initiate this, and this lends to why I was talking about dinos and rhinos. The state Republican Party has to be the initiator in purging their ranks. Let me let you think about this, because this is maybe a good paradigm shift for people. Go read Section 3. It identifies those who have ever taken an oath to support the Constitution. If they've done something likewise, I mean, back then they couldn't fathom these types of things. People talk about, oh, well, we weren't a nation of parties. Parties were starting to mature very quickly. Communist Party didn't even exist, even though the first communist revolution started after our government had just started in the early 1790s. But those types of ideologies were unthinkable to actually take root here. So what I want to do, and I don't even have time yet, and what I want to do on Monday is I was going to jump into this Convention of States. But I'm not going to do that on Monday, because I promised at the beginning that we needed to kind of cover some of the news that's not going anywhere. So I'll give you, we'll go through some of the hot news and some of those things that are really big, because I want another session of marketing, because that's what news for me is. It's marketing. What's it going to take to get you involved? I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.